from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 12th. Coming up, prisons are understaffed when it comes to mental health providers. It's why some look to inmates to help prevent suicide. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A medical expert thinks the COVID-19 surge caused by Omicron is due in part to people following outdated advice on rapid testing and large gatherings over the holidays. Dr. Sadia Khan with Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine says that advice was based on prior variants, but Omicron is different.
The strategies that we had thought were in place in terms of vaccination, rapid testing in order to safely gather may not apply right now in the context of this variant.
Khan thinks Illinois could see a plateau in new cases in 2 to 3 weeks. She says social distancing and other precautions likely won't affect when the plateau happens, but those actions will influence deaths and hospitalizations. Yesterday, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported a 17% positivity rate statewide and 7,300 new cases of COVID. The state also reported 2,800 new hospitalizations for people with the virus. Public health officials reported nearly 600 new COVID-19 cases yesterday in Champaign County. The number of active cases in the county fell to about 6,900, down 200 from yesterday. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 149 people hospitalized with COVID-19, down slightly from yesterday, but a bit higher than a week ago. 22 of those patients are in the ICU. You can find the latest information on where to get COVID testing and vaccinations in Champaign, Macon, and Vermilion counties at illinoisnewsroom.org. Urbana Middle School will stay remote for the rest of this week. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Absences among staff at Urbana Middle School pushed the school to go virtual this week. District 116 Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum says the school would have been short 35 adults, from hall monitors to administrators. Some have COVID-19 or were exposed to the virus. Some have childcare crises. Some have illnesses besides COVID. Ivory Tatum says she doesn't expect other Urbana schools to go virtual.
Even before Thanksgiving, we have been doing the best that we can to cover all of the openings, borrowing subs from other buildings. And that, for some reason, has impacted the middle school more than any of our other buildings.
Some parents elected into a learning hub option where students learn virtually from their classrooms. The district expects school to be in person again next Tuesday after Monday's holiday. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Elsewhere, Illinois Democrats are predicting action this spring on an anti-crime package in Springfield. In an interview with WBEZ, House Speaker Chris Welch said the package would address the alarming rise in carjackings and organized retail theft. But the Democrat from suburban Hillside would not divulge details or say if longer prison sentences for those found guilty are on the table.
One of the messages we're going to send loud and clear this session is that we believe that if you do the crime, you should do the time.
Welch did say there's no data to support undoing a law that goes into effect next year that bars cash bail. That law was opposed by Republicans and makes it easier for charged offenders to avoid jail time before their trial. Still to come, we'll learn how suicide companion programs in prisons can increase trauma. We'll get that story from Side Effects Public Media coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. People at risk of harming themselves can be placed on what's known as suicide watch. They're constantly monitored by a mental health professional in a hospital or treatment center. But in prisons, the person watching isn't always a trained professional or even a guard. Side Effects Public Media's Jake Harper and Lauren Bavis report this story from the podcast Sick. And just a note for listeners, this story contains descriptions of self-harm.
Phone calls from home were a comfort for Charday Avery while she was incarcerated at the Indiana Women's Prison in Indianapolis. But a few years ago, it seemed like every call she got came with bad news. Her brother, who is also in prison, had been in a fight, and her dad had an accident.
Avery felt like she needed counseling. She was in crisis. So late one night, she went to the only person she could ask for help, a correctional officer.
They were like, it's too late. We don't have anybody here for you to talk to, and only way you're going to get off the dorm is if you say you're going to harm somebody or you're going to harm yourself.
She didn't think she was suicidal, but she had no other options, so she said she was.
I said, I'm not in my right state of mind, and I feel like I'm going to hurt myself.
Avery was put in a cold, padded cell with a window in the door. She fell asleep. When she woke up, there was someone outside her cell, staring at her through the window.
And she was like, I just want to tell you that everything's going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
It wasn't a doctor or a counselor. It was another incarcerated woman.
There are dozens of people on suicide watch in Indiana's prisons every month. And the people doing the watching are often their peers, known as suicide companions. Indiana is one of several states that does suicide watch this way. There's Kansas, South Carolina, Michigan, and New Mexico.
Christine Tartaro is a professor at Stockton University in New Jersey. She studies suicide in prisons and jails and says there are also similar programs outside the U.S.
We've kind of gotten this idea of let's use our most abundant resource in the correction setting, which is inmates, because every prison has an abundance of inmates.
Even so, Tartaro says companions aren't meant to replace trained mental health staff.
It could be tempting for budget-minded corrections facilities to just say, oh, we have these inmates, therefore I don't need to hire a psychologist. I don't need that social worker.
Mental health experts we spoke with seem divided on the use of incarcerated people as suicide companions. But Tartaro sees the benefits. Prisons are often understaffed, she says, especially when it comes to counselors. And people in crisis may trust their peers more than doctors or guards. These benefits for prisons can come with problems for the companions. Lori Logan was a companion for 4 years at the Indiana Women's Prison.
There was a time where I had somebody who went to the shower, and when she was brought out of the shower, somebody had actually hid a razor in the shower for her. I noticed her shoulder was moving, and I asked her what she was doing, and next thing I know, half the wall was bloody, and I was screaming for an officer.
Logan and other former suicide companions in Indiana told us they received little training to do the job, and they struggled to cope with what they saw. Other women ingested their own bodily fluids and smeared them across the cell walls. The companions choked on pepper spray they say guards use to stop women from hurting themselves.
Incarcerated women in particular can have histories of trauma, and being suicide companions traumatized them in a new way. What's more, former companions we spoke to told us they didn't always have a choice. They were told once they volunteered, they had to work as companions or face punishment.
We asked the Indiana Department of Correction about this, and officials declined an interview. In an email, a spokeswoman disputed what multiple women told us. She said the companions receive training, can debrief with staff after hard shifts, and aren't penalized for asking for help. The spokeswoman also said the program is voluntary. After trying to quit multiple times, Logan eventually walked off an especially hard shift.
I was watching the girl hurting herself in front of me, and I stood up. I threw my pen across the lock unit, and I said I quit.
Logan wonders if she had continued as a suicide companion, whether she would have ended up on suicide watch herself. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Jake Harper.
And I'm Lauren Bavis.
You can listen to the full second season of Sick at sickpodcast.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy and warmer today with a high of 43 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Dave McKinney, Lauren Bavis, and Jake Harper. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.